And I'll fall asleep listening to it. Not because I'm absorbed with myself. Believe me. I actually think I sound very weird. Does anybody ever, everybody, if you've never talked, has anybody here that's never talked into a microphone and heard yourself? Raise your hand now and you're going to be a volunteer. You sound weird if you don't know it, to yourself. To the rest of us, you sound like you sound. But sometimes, until you hear yourself talking, you don't, you just thought you knew what you sounded like. So anyway, I listen for content, and I could not get away from something. I even told my wife, I said, today's going to be different. And nobody really knows, except I shared it with Deanya because I needed to share it with her at the beginning of the service, because I'm going to go back and play a long excerpt from last week's sermon. Oh, no. So that's, I just heard, oh, no. So that's a thumbs down. Was it that bad? No, I really felt like it was so strong. I mean, like, truly, go back to that before I pull you forward. Because there was so much meat. And if you weren't there and didn't get to catch it online, and even if you did, this is a message that is so compelling to me that I've got to spend a few weeks on it. And we've come out of a discipleship course. The last thing of any length that we did was talk about discipleship. And we talked about it a good bit last year, and Christine helped me. And next week, she may help me some on this, because we've been talking about it together. And but this thing about unforgiveness and bitterness and offenses, they have this incredible propensity to dig quick roots. I mean, they are fast rooting. And here's what makes it even worse. Not only are they fast rooting, they're deep rooting. I'm talking deep, deep rooted, deep rooting. And according to scriptures, we're supposed to be rooted. We're supposed to be rooted in love. And that word rooted actually means taken out of one place and planted into another. We are supposed to, as believers, we're supposed to have coming out, have come out of something into something. And I told you last week how it is possible to shock the roots. A lot of times, have you ever seen these trees, like just tree farms? They've got this gigantic tractor implement that has gigantic spades, and they dig way down, and they get the whole root ball, and they'll put it in a gigantic crate, and they'll bring it to your place, and they may plant the whole thing with the crate too, because it'll rot. It'll actually be a nutrient. Or they might lift it out. Well, what they have to be very careful of is disturbing those roots, that root system. It's called shocking the root. And even though you picked it up and planted it, if you shock the roots, it's dead. It'll look alive for a few days, and it'll start dying. But you've got to be careful with your roots, and that we are supposed to be rooted and grounded in love. And we're supposed to be growing, and we're supposed to be prosperous and actually be fruitful. I'm looking at some material right now about trees and how many times trees are mentioned in the Bible. It is astounding. And you don't hear a lot of messages on that. But he does call us oaks of righteousness. And then he goes on to say, the planting of the Lord. How about that? So you should be his display on this earth. You are to be a representation of him on this earth, after all. And this thing about preaching against offense and holding on to bitterness and holding on to things like that that were hurtful and painful, can I tell you that that's counterculture for today? That there are things that have us stuck to our phone, and we're given the opportunity to form an opinion immediately about it? So offense is right there in our face. So me to preach against offenses, Paul said this, he said, give no offense. As a matter of fact, he said it like this in the King James, give none offense. We don't even talk like that anymore. Give none offense. That's how much offense is there for you to give. Like being very careful about how you present yourself in any way. I'm getting into next week, so I got to back off of that. But we're not supposed to be offensive people. And we're not supposed to be easily offended people. Really not. It should actually become hard for you to be offended at all. Yep, that's why we're going to preach on it for a while. Because I know it's not just counterculture. It's not preached very much. But so I'm going to pick up in a second. I need to do this first. So I'm going to preach on the front side. And then I might, as it's rolling, say a few things because there are a couple of words I think I might have got them twisted. And then I'm going to cut it off and then I'm going to finish up. And to say that Jesus was relevant and took examples from customs and things that they knew, that's why we study our Bible. That's why we study His Word. That's why we expound on His Word, because there are things in Jesus' teaching. Like I preach Paul a lot. I preach the apostles a lot. But when I preach what Jesus said, it should really be something that becomes a part of our lives. I like looking at what Paul says, but I want to know more, even more so, what Jesus said. And He said stuff that was so poignant, and His apostles and disciples, they got what He was saying because they lived in the culture. They knew what was going on. It made sense to them. And we'll just wash right over it, and it won't mean anything to us, but it meant so much. So we leave so much on the table that would be knowledge and helpful for us and wisdom for us. So we'll get to that, but I'm going to tell you why I'm doing this. I promise you, I'm not hitting the I have never done this in my life. It is so uncomfortable. I'm having to push past my flesh to truly, I believe, be obedient and play this for you, because I just want to, I don't want to do anything different than what we normally do. I want to preach to you, but I couldn't get past, like, say that again. And then I found a scriptural reference for saying it again. In the second epistle of Peter, the first chapter, Peter was preaching about being fruitful and growing in the faith. Imagine that. So to be fruitful and growing in the faith, he gives us verse 12. I'm just going to pick up a few verses through 15. Peter said this. He said, "For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things," the things that he's been preaching. And he's just so you know, he's preaching about things that'll, if you do these things, you won't stumble. That's what he said. You won't stumble. In your Christian walk, you won't stumble. How amazing that would be to not stumble in my Christian walk. Amen? Amen. Y'all know I use this thing in strange ways. That does nothing, but you know what I mean. You always respond to it. "Though you know, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, that if you do them, you won't stumble. Though you know and are established in the present truth." You know what I'm talking about. So he's taking something that they know, and he's preached about over and over. And he said, this present truth that I'm telling you about, yes, I think it is right as long as I am in this tent. In other words, as long as I am alive. He's getting ready to die. He said, it is right for me to stir you up by reminding you. So in other words, to preach it and to allude to it and to come back and to tie it in again until you get it. Because we're always somewhere. Remember the phrase? I don't know where you're at this morning, but I promise you this. This word is for you. And this is what Peter is saying. "Knowing that shortly I must put off my tent." He said, as long as I'm in the tent, in other words, as long as I'm alive, I'm getting ready to die shortly, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. So the Lord showed Peter that his life was almost over. But he said, "Moreover, I will be careful to ensure you that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease." So he's saying this. This thing that I'm talking, I'm going to keep talking it because you need to keep hearing it. And then he said, as long as I'm alive, I'm going to say it. And then when I'm dead, I'm going to make sure it's down where you can hear this on repeat in your life. And that's why I felt like this thing was so, as I listened back to this, I was like, God was just nailing me. I need to hear this too. We need to hear this because our culture says, yeah, be offended. Yeah, you should be offended. And all I got to do to find out where you're at on a subject is to say, are you this or are you that? And all of a sudden, it's like, do I scratch your face or do I put my arm around your neck? Or do I look at you and all of a sudden we're good and now I got to turn my hat on backwards and we got to fight this thing out? Or if you're a woman, like we're right here, I think we're good, but oh, you're on that side, and they start pulling off earrings and pulling off shoes. Y'all didn't grow up near where I grew up. I'm telling you, they fought with forks and everything. Oh, I ain't kidding you. I saw folks that were soup at lunchtime. They were soup. Anyway. Okay, Dianya, if you will hit that, we're going to pick up, and she's going to have it where you can follow along, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 through 19. It's going to go for several minutes right here, so y'all get comfortable staring at me, and I'll get comfortable staring at y'all.
Every Bible, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 through 19, it says this. This is a prayer that Paul's praying, that he, or God, would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. That Christ might dwell in your heart and that you would be rooted and grounded. So that thing about being rooted is not really...
I actually just said that part a second ago.
The fullness of God. That Christ might dwell in your heart and that you would be rooted and grounded. So that thing about being rooted is not really something that you do. It's something that he does. He takes you out of an old place and roots you. Okay? It's actually like to be plucked out of something and then carefully placed into something so that the roots will take root and that you can continue to grow. Do you know that you can move a tree from one place to another? If you're not very careful, you will shock the roots. And though you plant it again, the tree will die because you messed the roots up. It's called shocking the roots. Okay? So he's talking about us being rooted in him. And that means to cause to take root, to be firmly planted or established. Okay? Colossians 2 and verse 1 through 7. Let me read that one to you. Paul an apostle, I'm sorry, chapter 2, verse 1 through 7. Verse 6 and 7. I'm just glad I'm there. Cutting the chase.
See, I saved y'all some time.
Therefore, receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So, rooted, so you have been pulled out, and you have been planted, and built up, and established in the faith. Let me tell you what that looks like in a real life example. I've got three trees in my front yard. When we bought the house and 7 or 8 years ago, there were three big trees, but a storm came. They're brand new pears. A storm came. Lightning struck. Boom! Came out. One of those big trees was laid out into the road, and the lightning hit it at the very base of the tree. So about as good as you could hit it. It hit it so hard, it broke it off. And there was a hole in the ground where research exactly how, you know, there's a right time to plant it, and then there's a right depth to plant it. And then you put things down there. What's this? Be rooted and be built up. So what I had to do it right, was to put this stuff called black cow peat moss down in there and some fertilizer. And that would sustain the root ball for months to come. It would eat this good stuff until it got established. And it could grow itself. And now it's doing great. It's probably double the size. It's probably that big around. When I got this like that, I did.
Okay. Go to Luke chapter 17 and the first six verses right there. And I want to read it from the King James. So, then said he to the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come. In other words, they're coming. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. I'm going to stop right there. And I don't want to bore you with going back too much, but I know that we've got a crowd that's kind of, because of different situations right now, we've got some that are in and some that are out, some that will be back next week. My own mother-in-law has been out like 5 or 6 weeks in a row and because of health and things like that. Thank you, everyone, for asking about her, and she is doing much better with that. But this scripture is saying that offenses are going to come to every one of you. He had everybody's attention. He had everybody's attention, and that he called them. It says that these were the disciples were there. And then a few seconds later, it says that the apostles answered. So he was nailing everyone because we've all been offended, right? If you breathe oxygen, you're going to be offended. And what he's trying to help us learn to do is to grow, and that the fact that we are rooted and planted, and that we're not here's what we're supposed to grow from: who we used to be. The old guy would have turned the hat around and fought it out physically, and he's dealing with these disciples that are going to be apostles, and he's dealing with them knowing that they're not. They're completely yet. They haven't figured this thing out completely. And the proof of that is that Peter that I just read about, he's going to end up taking his sword out and whacking a man's ear off and ready to do. I mean, who knows? I mean, how do you hit somebody's ear anyway? Was he going for the head and just missed a little bit, or the guy ducked? I don't know. But something came out of him that was violent, right? And what the Lord is trying to teach us is that we get to a place where we're not given in offense. Like what it says later by Paul saying, give none offense. Don't let it be a part of you. Don't be offensive in what you do. Oh, what about when we say, well, that's just me, and that's just who I am, and they can just get over it, and I don't worry about it. They don't have to roll with me, but they're going to know who I am. This is how I do it. I mean, thank you. May have been a little bit out of habit. Who knows? Are we not supposed to have been planted into something different? Where we have a different response for the old thing? that as a representation of God, that we have a different response that reflects Him now? Don't you think that you should be different now than what you used to be? Even though who you are now may show a little bit of who you used to be by the fact that you did it so long that it kind of stained you. Okay? You're kind of known by what you used to do. We talked about that several weeks ago. Paul was preaching the gospel, but still known and stained by what he used to do, making sure that all these people that he were trying to preach to now, they were gathering them up to kill them, right? So that made it hard to believe that Paul was actually believable. I don't want to go into that. That's still in my thought process. What I'm talking about, there can be things that are places that we used to be that have stained us. And we're not that anymore, but we still bear the marks of what we used to be. My dad was a preacher, but he loved to work on cars. And one of his cars was a diesel. And if you know anything about diesel, you can change the oil in your gas vehicle and drive it for a month and check the oil in it, and it's still pretty clear, you know, honey-looking oil in it. When that oil gets black, you done waited way too long to change it. Okay, you got your money's worth, okay? But a diesel works differently. And a diesel, you can change the oil in a diesel, run it around the block, and it'll be slick black like that. It just has a different composition in the way that it works. But be that as it may, my dad loved to work on his vehicles. And our vehicles needed work all the time. But he would work on that diesel. And he had this stuff because, you know, my dad used his hands. And if any of you had dads that used their hands, you know, you got cracks in your hands, right? So in his hands, even though he had washed his hands, it'd be these black line cracks. It'd be so easy to see. And it was representation of what he's been doing. Okay? And he had this stuff called Gojo. And you wash your hands with Gojo, and it cut most of that grease off. It's an amazing product. It's good stuff, and I like the orange-smelling one. You know what I'm talking about? I can still smell that in my head. I can smell the regular one and the orange one in my head. But I like the orange one because it pretty much got rid of the stains pretty good because those things left stains. You ever seen people that smoked their whole life, and as they get older, maybe they grew a beard or something, and you would see the hair around their mustache or their goatee, it turns a different color. You know what that is? That's the nicotine causing a stain. Okay? Have you ever seen anybody that ate a Cheeto? Did he hold their hands up? You done lick them fingers, but I see it. It is that. You see it too. Am I telling the truth, Lily? Let me see if you shared. Hold your hands out. No, she ain't shared nothing with you. And you thought y'all were friends, right? Did you? Okay. That's your daughter. And Heather's looking at her husband saying, Darren, that's your daughter. Okay, here we go. So the thing about Cheetos, has anybody never had a Cheeto here? I should have found out. Has everybody had a Cheeto? It don't take many, does it? And you know you've been eating Cheetos, right? And your clothes know it too. Because it leaves a little bit of a stain and you try to get rid of it. Amos in the Bible was a prophet of God. And Amos was, we're talking about agricultural stuff for a minute. So Amos was talking about what was going to happen because the people of God weren't acting like the people of God. And the king was getting upset because what Amos said was coming true. Not because Amos said it, but because God told it to him. So it had to happen, right? And it got to the point where Amos is a prophet of God, but the priest had a thing going with the the priest of the temple had a thing going with the king, and the priest is kind of trying to go between the prophet of God and the king and work out a deal. And the priest tells Amos, he said, if you'll just go away, you can go to this place over here, way over here, and you can prophesy all you want, and you can eat of the fruit of the trees over there. But this is what he said. He said, you are killing our land with your prophecies. He said, our land cannot bear your prophecies. How powerful is that? Sometimes God's got to get to you through your belly when nothing else will work. But they're calling Amos out as a prophet of God. And this is what's so interesting. This is why I actually had her eat the Cheetos. Y'all learn way too much about how my mind works, and I give it to you. Amos said this when the priest tried to talk him out of it. He said, I'm nobody special. He said, I am just a former herdsman or shepherd who also worked on gardening a sycamine tree. Now here's the thing about the sycamore and the sycamine tree and its fruit. Oh, I'm just trying to think, should I go to this yet? Yeah, I'll go there. Amos, if you were here last week, now I'm going to go back and recap this for everybody else. But the thing about the sycamine tree, you remember I told you that you could only eat its fruit in little nibbles because it was so bitter? But they had a trick. They had a trick. And the trick was that they would scratch the fruit. And when they scratched the fruit, it would cause a bruise on the fruit. And then you know how bruised fruit, for a little while it's sweeter right there. And they would bruise the fruit so that it would sweeten it up so that it would be bearable a little bit. And he had his fingers, they say it would leave an orange stain on his fingers. Like Cheetos over there. And you know who's been into Cheetos? You've seen the commercial because their hands got the stain on them. And Amos was saying, I've got stained fingers. I'm not anybody special. I'm not anybody special, but I used to work with sheep. And God took somebody who knew that sheep would follow somebody if he could trust them. And he knew that he could take somebody who knew that you could bruise a fruit by scratching something back and making it something that used to be bitter, making it appealing. And to understand that Jesus said the sycamine tree, you're asking me to increase your faith. You disciples. You're not just anybody. You're disciples. You've been following me around a while. And you're saying this. You're saying, Jesus, you got all of our attention. We've all been offended. And you're saying it happens. But if it happens, then we've got one thing to do, God. Yeah, give us a couple things to do. Because if you'll give us a couple things to do, then it'll be options. But you didn't give us a couple things to do. You gave us one thing to do. And that means it's not an option anymore. That means it's an instruction now. Hallelujah. So if he gives you an instruction, what does it come down to? Your ability to obey or not. And he said this. He said, if they offend you, this is why it should be rare. It should be hard for us to be offended. If you get offended, go to them. Confront them. That's what the word rebuke means. Confront them. And if they repent, then there's one response. Forgive them. No options. No, well, hold it against them. Well, go tell everybody. Yeah. You remember that time they made me mad, but God's forgiven them. You know, I want you to get upset about it. God's forgiven them. You can trust them now because me and God helped them get it right. We start doing junk like that. He said, no, there are no options to this. One thing. That means it's instruction. Forgive. Forgive. We got one thing to do. It's forgive. Forgive. And I know that later on there's instruction, and we're going to get to that. We're going to get to other instructions. If it doesn't get worked out, there's instructions for that. But that takes order too. Because his whole process of doing this is to eliminate it from the body. Eliminate it from the body, where we're always getting offended with each other. And it's why people quit going to church with each other. Now, we quit going to church with each other, but we go into one heaven where we're all going to be together. But I'll move. Where am I? There they are. Who put my glasses over there? So Jesus said this. He said about the fruit. He said, or the apostle said, you got to increase our faith right here. This affects all of us. You got our attention, and you're saying that we got to confront them? Well, that's going to take more faith than I got. And what? We got to forgive them? That's going to take more faith than I got. So their response was, increase our faith, Lord. And Jesus really exposed them. Because he said this. He said, if you had faith as a mustard seed, you could say to this sycamore tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted or cast into the sea. And we talked a great deal about that. The sycamore tree. We would have brushed right past that. And I got to tie this back in a second. But I told you that the things about the sycamore tree, it did not mean that you got a special situation where, I mean, like Jesus, you know, I got offended. But here's the thing, Jesus. Everybody knows how bad they treated me. Everybody knows it. So I get a pass. I can be ticked off for a while, right? I can pout about it for a while. He said, if you had faith, talking to his most faithful at the present time, the disciples turning apostles, and he's teaching them this. And he said this, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, like that much, just a little bit, you would say to what you're thinking is so big. You would say to, you're asking me for an extra measure of faith, and I'm telling you, you don't need an extra measure of faith. You need to use the little measure, just a little bit of what I've given you to handle this. I don't get why we hold on to offenses and then wonder why nothing good happens in our life. I don't get why we're holding on to something, thinking that it's going to be fruitful, and we actually fertilize that thing and help its roots to get even down deeper, and we even defile other people. I told you about that last week. I get to talking to you about what happened, and you don't even know the person. But now you've got an opinion that I helped you form, and then I've talked to everybody else about it, and they got an opinion on it, And I go over, and the Lord helps us, and we get it worked out. Hallelujah. But what about everybody else we offended? Or we drug into something that they had no business being there? And we wonder why it's like this, and why it's like that, and why in society right now, we can't even say anything. I can't preach anything. I can't preach a half of a sentence without offending half the church. And we're wondering, oh, I'm going to say it. And we're wondering, when he told us, why? Who are we to wonder why we're getting this response when we're not obedient to what he said? All we had to do was be obedient to start with, and all this nonsense would have never hit us. And we're still thinking that we're the place that we want to invite somebody to come to. I just read on a man this week who God amazingly changed his life. He was an atheist and a professor. And God changed his life so much that he quit his job. He was over a whole department. He left all of that to preach what God showed him. And he said at that point in his life, his only, I mean, he said, I got to figure out what truth is. So I got to go to everything now and read up on everything. Almighty. I got to read up on all the religions and see if there's a way out, because I can't in my scientific studies figure out a way out of this, because there's not one. And he said, I looked at this religion and it had a way of doubling back and messing itself up and proving itself to be a lie. And I went to this religion and the same thing happened. And then he said, and then I read a Bible. And he said this. He said, oh, where was he at? He was at some place anyway, like a doctor's office or something. And he went in and he said, in a back room on a table beside, I remember there was like a Better Homes and Gardens and a National Geographic. And underneath that was an old Bible. And he said, so I stole it. Don't tell me God won't use craziness. This is an educated man, and he stole the Bible. He took it home. He started reading it out of Matthew. And he said, it did not take me very long to figure out what I knew about Jesus was nothing, because I'd been watching. I'd been watching people, and he said, all I thought was those guys on, my immediate response was those guys on TV. God help those guys on TV. I'm not trying to condemn. God help them to say what he's saying. Like, become a one-off man. Become like Paul when he said, that which I give to you, I got from God. I had received it from God. That which I gave you, I received from God. So that I'm giving you a one-off. I heard it from him, and I'm giving it to you. And I haven't given it time to get washed out with anything else. So this man's life was changed by all this. And I'm reading some of his material. It's amazing to me that people that have come into contact with an almighty God and start believing him because they believed everything else that led them to the fact that everything I used to believe, I found it not to be true. But now I get into this word. It's a perfect thing, like if we were having the Gideons today. This guy found this Bible, stole it, and God changed his life. Craziness. I love it. So Jesus is saying this thing about this sycamore tree. He's comparing everything that has to do with unforgiveness to this sycamore tree. And as I begin to tell you about this sycamore tree, Jesus said, you can take a little bit of faith, if you had just a little bit of faith, and you could dig down and you could get the whole root ball and you could throw it into the depths of the sea. Now, what did he say at the beginning about the thing? He said, woe to him that breaks. He said, offenses are going to come, but woe to him through whom they come. It'd be better for them to be cast into the sea. So if it manifests itself and it starts growing, you got the faith to uproot the thing and throw it in the sea. He's saying there's no room for this thing. You don't plant anything in the sea, nothing, because it doesn't grow. It dies there. If it makes its way to the sea, it dies there. He's saying there is an end all to these offensive things. At least to the believer. That's good news for somebody. It could be, offense could be ended out of your life. You young people need to learn that now. That you spend a life that you're not offended anymore. You never let offense become a part of your life, you young people. Never let it become a part of your life. Is anybody that's found any value in it? I mean, there are whole media, social media platforms based on it. This is counterculture. This goes against that. This flies up in the face of that. All because somebody said, do you like it or do you not? Give me a break. It was. Can I tell you, we were fooled that easy? If we're fooled that easy, what's next? So the sycamine tree is something that has a very vigorous root system that goes down so deep that it grows in any situation in the Middle East. It's everywhere. That's the one tree that grows anywhere in the Middle East. And it's hardly ever affected by weather. Why? Because its roots go down so deep. And he's comparing our unforgiveness and our offenses and our bitterness and the ability to get them out, like pulling this deep-rooted tree that Wow, you see this thing everywhere. Well, let me just compare that to people. Do I see this everywhere? Yeah, I see it everywhere. And this is what he says too. When he was explaining this sycamine tree, Jesus could say things and didn't even have to say anything, but he said a whole lot just because he used it as an example. When he said the sycamine tree, they all used, oh, that's the tree that we build our caskets out of. In other words, the wood from that thing is valuable in this sense. It can house death. It can hold dead things. Not just that. Its fruit has a little bit of value in the fact that you can't eat it all in one setting, but you can nibble on it. You go talk about it over here and nibble on it. You go talk about it over here and nibble on it. And that's where we get to Amos with his cheesy finger, pointing out and talking about God with his orange-stained fingers. And those people knew, this guy right here is different than anybody else. He has found out, and God is using him because he knows that people will follow something. He was a shepherd. And he knows that he could take something that was bitter and scratch it just a little bit, and all of a sudden it's appealing to people. How about the fact that we can take something nasty and just scratch the surface back a little bit, and all of a sudden I'm godly. I don't believe in no gossip, but if you want to tell me so I can pray for them. Be careful about information. The Lord helped me, like, hurdle that thing a long time ago. That's why there's certain things I don't know about you. And certain things I don't want to know unless you tell me. Because I want to be able to come and preach to you without worrying that you knew that Pastor John's preaching that because he knew that information on you. You got to be careful with information. Got to be careful with those things. But this sycamine, Amos said, I'm an inspector. I was a shepherd, and I also was able to bruise the fruit in such a way that it became sweet for you to eat. And lastly, I told you about that fruit, that even when it produced fruit, it did not. The sycamine tree, when it produced fruit, it did not pollinate naturally. The way it pollinated was whenever a wasp would come and sting the fruit. You know, their stinger pulses in and out of them. And it would get on this fruit, and then it would go get on that fruit. And that's the way that thing is pollinated, through a sting. Through a sting. And he's saying, get rid of all of this. Because every time this thing is meant to grow, it comes first with a sting, and then it goes to another place, and you're stung, and now you're stung, and you've been stung, and you're going to have a response to that sting. And he's saying, get rid of it. It's of no value to you. Leave none. Leave none of it. And later on, he says, give none of it. Give no place for offense. Where I'm going next week, my wife probably thought I had a whole, because I've always got coffee, but she probably thought, she heard me moaning and oohing and ah, she probably thought I had a pound cake surrounded this morning. I was like, oh my goodness, I can't go here yet, but I got to touch some of what I touched last week. I can't go here, but he's prepping the ground today. And I know my congregation that God has graciously blessed me to get to speak into, I got your ear right now. God is going to grow his people up. Those that will, because this has to do with maturity. Maturity. Not getting drawn back into this anymore. Will you come, Christine? Not getting drawn back into this anymore. Not letting this thing get rooted up inside of you. I started off by telling you the sycamine tree has fast-growing roots and double bad because it has deep-growing roots. And if you don't get it out quick, you'll be left with the consequences. You'll be left with it.
Ryan, can you come? Just play something real softly. You don't have to lead any song or anything. I can't play this right now because I just feel so compelled that we need to spend some time with the Lord. All of us have given offense. All of us have been offended. And we need more than us to stand up here and try to nail every single scenario in your life. You don't know my story, and then you'd understand, I don't know your story, and you don't know mine, and you don't know the person's next to you. But I know, no matter what, I don't want that taking root in my soul and in my life. And my God tells me that it only takes a small grain of mustard seed, and it can be thrown into the sea, where it can't grow anymore, where it can't affect my life. I'm just asking you, every one of us this applies to find a place to get before the Father and ask Him to show you what needs to be uprooted. Ask Him to minister to you. Ask Him to break down the walls that you have built up as a fortress around that thing. Can we just do that without, just move. Get out of your seat, bend down, sit down, come up here to these altars, whatever it takes. Get humble before the Lord this morning. And this is not about what's been done to you or the offenses that way. Focus on you. Focus on your heart and what God is doing in you.